James. We got James Mullen here today, folks. Oh, my Apple Watch is buzzing. It's telling me to drink more water. I just got this thing. Someone gave it to me because they got a new one, and I'm kind of obsessed with it. But anyway, besides the point. So this is James Mullen, who I've interacted with many times, and like he went to school with my fiance, my now fiance, we can all scream about that. And and so that was something that I didn't know about him. And then I found out that he has a whole ass degree that I didn't know about. And I just feel like this episode is really indicative of what I wanted this podcast to be, of just being able to sit down and talk to people. Like, because James, I've just seen him in a musical capacity, and we just kind of pass each other and say hello and know that the other person exists. But we never get to like sit down and have really in-depth conversations, because it's really hard to do that at a show when music's really loud and people are screaming and all of that. So this is exactly the type of format I wanted to create, where I could sit down and just have a conversation with someone and really get to know them. So this is James Mullen. Talking to normal
people. Of showing up to each other's shows and like just like cheering each other on. It's like the scene is really like a handful of bands in a trench coat, like
yeah,
like it's everyone's like propping each other up. Yeah. And like being like,
have you ever seen BoJack Horseman?
Partially, yeah. My brother Jay was really got into it for a stretch, and we were living together at the time, so I've seen like a little bit of it, but I haven't like sat down and watched the full thing. I know Aaron Paul's in it, so
yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the characters. But your brother's actually coming here, I think, next week.
We talked about
Did
it.
Did you talk about it?
I was in Burlington November 1st, and we played like a house show at their Halloween night. His new band like was just launching.
Yeah.
They're called Lavender.
Oh, yeah, cute. Oh my God.
So I'm sure he'll tell you all about that. But they're really a really awesome like vibe of like multi-instrumentalists. Like all like everybody involved plays like more than one instrument, and they all sing. So like they kind of like
love that.
Shift and take like
it's
a different
like Dr.
person.
Dog.
Yeah, right. Like a different person takes lead on like a given song. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah. I love that. But it made me think of that because there's like a character, and it's like this kid. His name is Vincent, but he's walking around in a trench coat. So everyone thinks he's an adult, but he's a child in a fucking trench coat.
Classic.
And this one character dates him for like a whole season. Like it goes on for too long. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Were they doing like any tricks to make their voice deeper? Like that's always a staple of those kinds
no,
of movies.
No, I don't think he even was. It was just like, I'm Vincent.
That's hilarious.
It's like it's so funny. There's also this joke about, there's like the joke about three ducks in a trench coat at church. And then they're like, do the one about our daily bread.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So funny.
But, right, that's going to my stand-up routine for when I actually
honestly,
hit open mics.
Yeah. Are you going to do that?
No,
do you
no,
like
no.
do
well,
stand-up?
I mean,
do you want to?
No. Well, I dabbled with stand-up actually like probably even earlier than I dabbled with music. I did like a school talent show when I was like really young, and it was just like stupid. Like, I don't know. It was fine. It was never like, it's such a different kind of performance than music is.
God.
Like,
I
it's
always
so,
say like, it's a thing. It's like, to me, even more difficult than music, because like it's, to me, stand up is like there's nothing to hide behind. Like then you're just up there and you're just talking, and
right.
It's like at least I can be like, I'm hiding behind my music. Like I have a pretty voice, so at the end of the day, it's like at the end of the day, I can be singing about anything. But at least someone is like, well, she has a pretty voice.
Right.
But it's like you're just up there. It feels so vulnerable to me.
Something about like other kinds of performance, like obviously with acting, there's a facade, and with music, there's like a sort of like persona that's kind of in play. But like when you're doing comedy or something like just like stand up related, it just feels so raw. Like you're just telling stories from life. Like it's not really like, obviously there's an art to it, but it's like very like, it feels very like it reflects on you directly in a way that like other
like,
things
don't. And like, because like even as a songwriter, like I'm very much writing songs about my life, but it's like I could choose not to, you know, like I could just write songs about, I could read stories and write songs about them.
Sure.
And then you can be even that further removed. But like stand up, I guess you could have kind of some people have like a bit of a persona, but I like my favorite stand-ups are just, they're seriously just like,
for
this
sure.
is my life.
And the feedback is like, can be so much, is like so direct. Like,
oh my
like,
God. Right. Like, right.
Like you have a specific reaction you're looking for. Whereas like, music, like the reaction, like it, the reaction is all you're going for. It's not really as contextual necessarily as like, as long as somebody's resonating with it, then it's doing its job.
Yes.
But like with a joke, it's either funny or it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
100%, you know, 100%. So. And you know, in that moment,
yeah,
if you're bombing mm-hmm. or not, like for us, it's like, at least most people will just clap. Even if they liked it or not, it's like they'll still clap and they can get up and walk out or whatever. But right. it's like with stand up, it's like if you say your joke and no one laughs, then you're like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That's it. That's
I have a ton of respect. I actually, when Me I was too. Living in Syracuse for a couple of years, the first open mic that I went to out there was like, I accidentally showed up at a comic open mic and they were no, stay, you can go up and do songs. We love actually talented people. Like, and then they were all started laughing. Like, it was like, it's very interesting to be like the only non-comic in a room full of comedians.
Yeah.
Like, it's very like,
cause there is the whole, like, it's funny. Like most of the podcasts that I listen to are all stand-up comedians are the hosts. I like, cause I don't know. There's something about them. There is also a very similar track of like being a songwriter and being a stand-up of just kind of like the way that you build and like open mics and the connections you make. And then like, how it grows is oddly similar. So it's like, I loved listening to a lot of those podcasts because it was just like, oh, this is exactly what I'm going through right now, but we're just doing kind of different things.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I kind of like love that.
Definitely.
But how are you? How's your day?
I'm good.
I haven't seen you
in
like
drive over. It's
been, good.
You know, I think it just beat the rain. So that's
nice. I know. I was thinking maybe we'd get like a little bit of like rain ambiance for your episode too. I was like, maybe we'll pick up a little bit of like
very
sprinkling
dramatic.
In the, I know.
Very Edgar Allan Poe.
We're really setting the scene. Oh my God. Me and my Annabelle Lee. Isn't that Edgar Allan Poe?
I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
sure.
I think I know that from
pretty
Holes.
Sure. Excellent.
We loved with a love that was more than love. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Definitely Poe.
Yeah. That's so funny. So, okay. So you lived in Syracuse for a bit. Did you grow up in Glens Falls?
So yeah, my family is actually from downstate originally, and I lived in Queens until I was 12.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
And then, oh yep. I moved up to the Glens Falls area in Queensbury, when I was 12 going on 13, and I basically went to high school and college there. And then I went to Syracuse for grad school.
Oh my God. What did you study?
So I got my bachelor's in psychology.
What?
I have a bachelor of arts. Yeah. I'm still a member of the Sci-Chi, like psychology honor society. It's like a lifetime membership, which is pretty cool.
How did I not know this about you?
I'm not working in the field. So it's
true.
Like, it's like a.
You have. Wait, but you did grad school.
Yeah. I was going for school counseling. And I was there for like a couple of years, and I ended up just not finishing because I was like, long story short, like I wasn't willing to devote all of my time to it because I was trying to do music and work a full-time job at the same time. And I was like, well, I'm going to go to this open mic that starts at 9 p.m. and I'm not going to get home until 1 o'clock in the morning because I was still in my early 20s and like drinking a lot while I was out. And like, then I would like get up and go to work at 4:30 in the morning and like get out at 2 and
job?
Go to class. I was the opening manager at a McDonald's.
Oh, no
I worked
fucking
at a,
way.
I worked at McDonald's for 8 years, like
what?
Basically my entire way
you
through.
You stayed there for so long.
It was a long, yeah, it was a long time. Corporate, you know, slog. And you know what? Honestly, like there's worse, like it was.
Totally.
In some ways it's not as bad as people think. And in some ways it's just as bad as people think.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like a lot of jobs are like that, I feel
100%,
like.
100%, yeah. They have the ups and downs. Can you tell me like your favorite thing about it?
It was pretty flexible. Like, it
really?
Was, yeah. Like, I mean, in terms of like, and I know like, I read this line from like Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips one time where he was like, he actually like, he was a fry cook and like, I think it was Long John Silver's.
No
And he
way.
Was like,
I didn't
and
know
he was like,
him.
It was like, he's like, it was like, it allowed me to keep my mind free to dream about like what could happen. And
totally.
Like, so it's like, and like, not that it wasn't like hard work or like not demanding, because it definitely was, but like.
But it becomes kind of like.
I could think about music and like whatever other creative things. I have a lot of like creative pursuits to actually pursue.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Because so. I feel like my mom owned a pottery studio in Saratoga for forever. So I worked there for ever.
Yeah.
Like that was my day job until COVID, really, until I got COVID. And it was like, it was physical, right? Like it was like physically demanding, but it was also like, I was like, you get into these like rhythms, like glazing was my favorite thing. Cause I was just like, okay, I'm just like glazing and I'm doing this thing and I'm dipping in the thing and I'm shaking it off and I'm putting it in, it's drying. And it's like, and you get into these meditative flows. And then I would get like a lot of like song lyric, like downloads in my brain, like as I was doing
there was
that.
Just, there was just so much music around too. Like a lot of like, you know, there's always like, and a lot of people who work in kitchens probably like people like play music all the time, and like everyone totally. Like takes, people will take control, and you kind of yeah. get exposed to a lot of different kinds of music that
yeah.
way. And like, I've always considered myself, well, maybe not always, but since I've been a performer, I consider myself like well-rounded and like,
yes.
I don't like, in the same way as when I was just a listener, like I don't really think of music in terms of like, oh, I don't like this kind of music. It's it's more like everything has like potential to be great. Like there's a lot of, like you could find a lot of things in any genre that will
I completely
set
agree.
You on fire.
I know. I don't really have any genre that I like write off. And also I kind of love that we're having this like resurgence of good pop music right now.
Yeah. You know, I used to be one of these hipster dicks who was like, yeah. I don't listen to pop music. And like, not like that I didn't think it was good, but I would just be like, well, you know, I don't expect to find depth there. And that's such a stupid thing to say. Like,
I don't expect
it's
to find
dumb.
Depth
and like
there.
My brother, my youngest brother, who's like a big fan of like a lot of mainstream pop music, like really, like I credit him a lot to like exposing me to more of it and like calling me out on that perspective. And
yeah,
like,
how many of you are there?
Three of us.
Oh,
three
cool.
of us. There's
okay,
a youngest brother
boys.
Who's a seventh grade teacher in Albany.
Oh,
yeah. I won't. I don't know if I want. He wants me to out him on here.
Yeah.
Anybody's kids are in his class.
Right. Oh my god, but that's so cute. Okay, but wait, he's the youngest.
He's
so
the youngest.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
You
and
do
then
give
Jay's
older brother energy.
That's great. What is that? What do you mean by that? Is that like a nurturing thing or like a defending thing?
No, like, it's like this like way that you carry yourself as like you just have the confidence of the eldest child.
I love it.
Like you have that.
Excellent. I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So then also, can I ask what was the move from Queens? Like, what was that like? What was that for?
So we were always like,
and you were 12. So you were like
yeah,
old
so
enough to kind of grasp some stuff.
I was in seventh grade. I'd actually already like gone through confirmation. I went to Catholic school when we were like, I was like a prep school kid.
No
like,
way. Are you still religious?
I would say yes.
Does
but
it look different?
People who go to church and are like organized Christians might not agree.
Yeah.
Like I'm Same. Very much like, I definitely like believe in everything I feel I was taught, you know, yeah. and that's like how I'll put it.
Yeah.
Like, and I also believe in a lot of other stuff too. Like yeah. I think there's a lot of like great things out there, and not that there's anything wrong with whatever anybody believes in. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I guess there could be.
Like, I was gonna say,
if you're a bigot, or something, like you know, that's terrible. You should do some work. Like
yeah, you got to do some internal shit.
Change.
yeah.
Do yourself a favor and change.
Change. change it.
Yeah, exactly. Just hit the reboot button. Yep. The best time was before, and the second best time is right now.
JP will always be like, just feed them a bunch of LSD. Just feed them a bunch of LSD,
you know,
and everything will be different.
people who swear by that, you know?
Yeah, it's so
people,
dumb.
There's the medicinal properties of psilocybin.
Yep, this is true.
Everything like
Can
that.
Can attest. Yeah. But, okay, so
okay,
you guys.
Okay, so yeah, we were prep school kids, and I moved up.
And
so actually, I went to a smaller school when I lived downstate, when I lived in the city. Like, my class, like
well,
the class
I guess
size.
A Catholic school.
Yeah, right, yeah. exactly. There's definitely a culture shock. I still had a Queens. I still had a Queens accent, for a couple of years at least.
Stop.
And
oh my
like,
God.
I didn't get like bullied for it, but like there was a couple of people who would be like, "You sound like you have peanut butter stuck to the roof of your mouth all the time." Like, and so like, but that was kind of funny. Like, it's just like
people would hit you with that as an insult.
For sure,
That's
not like
crazy.
An insult. Just like, you know how kids are. Like, yeah, we were in seventh and eighth grade. Like, it was just like middle school crap. But
oh my God,
I don't know That's if you know so this, funny. But I actually graduated Queensbury the same year as JP.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys like literally went to school together.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God. I did not know that. What was he like in high school?
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was definitely like, I knew him as a great musician and like, like even then. Yeah. And I was just like, I only sang back then. I was in like my first rock band for like when I was like a 15-year-old kid. Like,
no way.
Yeah. I just like, music was always something I wanted to do.
It's kind of like there.
Feels like. Yeah. Like I never, like I didn't have musicians in my direct family.
Yeah,
like a lot of people always assume because like me and Jay are both like musical.
True.
Like they're like, oh, your parents play, right? But like music was always really present, but like they didn't play.
But they were like fans of it.
Yeah, like,
so
I can never really remember a time where like classic rock especially wasn't a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
Like Pink Floyd and like
yeah.
people were gonna like rake me for this, but U2. Like my mom's
Whatever.
A huge U2 fan. I don't care what people think.
Yes.
Like
no.
But I'm
me
ready
neither.
For it. I've been dealing yeah. with it my whole life.
Bring me that U2 hate.
You know?
Honestly, like I always liked U2, but I do always think about when they just dropped that whole album on everyone's iPhone.
You know, I've got
And
my
I was
own
like,
thoughts.
What the fuck is
I've got my own thoughts. I've always wondered. Crazy. I've always wondered. I understand the gripe and I get it. But yeah. I've always wondered why Apple took so little flack when U2 took all of the blame. It was it was a 50-50 thing.
It's true.
You know?
It's true.
That's what makes it, you know, Steve Jobs, brilliant businessman, sidestepping everything.
And he's just like, oop.
These millionaires are slick.
Dude, for real. For real. They got, like, the only way you get that much money is by stepping on other people. And somehow
we did it. We said the thing.
Oh, we said the thing. I'll say it. I don't know any billionaires personally, so
I don't think I do either.
I don't know. Actually, I should say I don't think I know any billionaires personally. But I just was. Did you just see that Billie Eilish speech?
No.
Where she was like, she like got up to talk and she was just like, she like it was accepting an award and she was like, hi, like if you're a billionaire, why? And I was like, damn, girl. Because she's like, there are so many people in this room with so much more money than me. And everyone in the room is like, ha, 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 ha. And she's like delivering this like very serious speech.
That's like, isn't it so funny how like people react to like being called out that way? Dude. Like you go back to like the Chappell Roan thing of like the Grammys with the like calling out the industry for not supporting artists enough.
Which, yeah.
And like so many people get like so irrationally angry at like artists for sticking up for themselves and not just being like
cows in the herd.
They should be thankful for everything.
No, you should be thanking me for giving you the money that you now have to pay back to me.
Hey, you know, you should be thankful for some things, but there's nothing wrong with like trying to fix things that are bad.
100%. Like, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Oh my God. So yeah. So you guys moved from Queens. Were you guys, was it just kind of like did your parents, was it like a job thing or was it
like? Yeah. So my, we were tourists first. Sorry, everybody. But like we were like Lake George tourists. My mom's family, of course, especially like was coming up here from like the time she was a kid. And like my uncle and his family moved up a few years before us. We rented out the house that he had left for a few years. And then when he wanted to sell it, we basically just followed up. We like were like deciding whether to try to buy that from him or just come up. And
my family did a similar thing, but they were all on Long Island. And then it was kind of like,
I still have some family down there.
Oh,
like
really?
Massapequa and like Levittown.
Oh,
like
nice. JP still has family down there too, actually. But all of my family's out of there now.
It never leaves you though. You're always you're always a New Yorker.
Like, oh no, like, and if you're a child of, because my mom grew up in Brooklyn, like that's where they lived forever.
Both
and
my parents were Queens kids,
of course. And then like they did the Brooklyn to Long Island like pipeline, and then it was Long Island to upstate New York, because I feel like that's like a very like city, Long Island upstate,
running
Clifton Park specifically. Yeah. everybody definitely, moves to Clifton Park from the city, but yeah. So you guys come up here and then like. I just can't even imagine, because you also were in Queensbury, but Queensbury is I grew up in Galway, which is like Hickville, but like Queensbury is a little more, it's more suburb.
Yeah. It's not like,
but it's not a city. It's not Queens.
Right. It's definitely, and it was definitely like an adjustment, but it was like, I feel very fortunate, like, the juncture that it happened, like, because, like, I had basically, like, I was on the cusp of being a teenager already, so it wasn't, like, super young, so it, in a way, it kind of feels like I grew up in both places, where, like, I have, like, enough concrete formative time spent, like, living down there and up here, where, like, I kind of feel comfortable in both ways of existing,
yeah,
and I feel like that's super lucky, because, like, a lot of people, like, really can't do one or the other.
100%.
And I feel pretty comfortable basically everywhere I go. I always joke with my brothers, like, I don't do a ton of traveling, but it's like, I was like visiting my brother in Burlington and I was like, you know, man, my problem is I'm like, I spend 24 hours in a place and I'm like, I could see myself here. Yeah. Like everywhere I go.
Like, oh my God. Love that. Like, yeah. You're like, oh, I could live here. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's me in terms of like, I see anybody doing anything creative or like artistic or I'm like, I could do that. That's everything. Everything.
Not necessarily I can do that, but like I'd love to do that. Like I'd love to make a movie. I'd love to write a book. I'd love to like...
If you had a book, what would you write it about? What would it be?
I've got a couple ideas I've been kicking around since like college.
Really?
Like, yeah, I used to... Well, so I used to be like... I took like creative writing as an elective. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Like I went to SUNY Adirondack.
Okay.
I played 2 years of soccer there.
Oh my God. You know what? You give off soccer energy also. That's it. Your older brother soccer player. That's, oh my God. Okay. Know, I feel like I understand you as a person now. Okay. Here
there
we
go.
Go.
Look at this. That's you're so learning cool. so much about me. It's great.
I know. Well, that's the point of the pod.
But yeah, so I did that and I was like, I basically like, I got a liberal arts like associate's degree and I like heavily took a lot of psychology courses and then like everything else was like, it was either social science or like English. And I was like, into like, I took a lot of like, I did creative writing. I did poetry. I did like,
oh
yeah. And I got rejected from the campus literary magazine, like
no four way. Times.
Yeah. It was like, that was like, but I don't, it was always, stop. It never like, not that it didn't bother me. Like rejection bothers everybody, but yeah. like it was, I always thought of it ever since that experience of just being like more like someone saying no can often just be about like timing and fit.
Totally.
More than it's about anything else. And totally. It's like, just keep throwing darts. You just got to keep yes. trying.
And like, also, there's this podcast that I really like, and he would always talk about, he's like, whenever anyone writes like a movie review, he's like, I would also like before then for the person who reviewed the movie to tell me how their day went and if they ate breakfast and if yeah. they fought with their spouse or if they like whatever. Cause it's like, someone could also like if you got them on a different day, they could read the thing and intake it in such a different way.
Totally.
But if you got them on a bad day and then they read your thing and it like triggers them
right.
or just like, isn't, they're just like not in the mood for it. It's like humans are so funny because like, it's like, cause also again, right. Like it's kind of like pop music. You used to hate pop music. What the fuck is that? And then it's like, you get older and then you're like, actually like, I'll listen to that Chapel Road
song. It's like, yeah, you know, like, what? Maybe I'll make slept. A pop song sometime.
Right, like, it's like, you right. know, so like, it's like you also change so, like we change so much all the time from like literally hour to hour. You can feel a
yeah.
million, like I feel a million emotions in a day.
Yeah, and I really like, I find myself like thinking about like in terms of like going back to like that genre discussion even before I answer the question you just asked me.
I know, sorry.
It's
this
okay.
is like what happens.
But like, it's just like, to come at things from a perspective of like what's wrong with them, I don't understand necessarily. Like, especially with art, like it's, to me it's like weird energy to be like, a thing is bad because it's something I don't immediately like. Like I don't really care for such that kind of energy, I guess.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I think I talking about being like hipster or whatever, I think I used to be that way where I was like, no, that just fucking sucks.
Right.
And now I'm like, no, I'm not here to yuck anybody's yum. Like if that makes you happy, listen to it. Watch
yeah.
it, like whatever, like that's great. I well, just recently, I used to be so against like trash reality TV. Last week, I watched an entire season of Love Is Blind in like 2 fucking days, and I was
binge,
like,
"You got to binge watch those shows sometimes."
It's yes, just a way,
it's
a, I'm like,
it's
I
a
just need it.
Experience.
Like, it is. It I is. I don't know what it is about it.
I remember like getting addicted to the VH1 reality shows in high school,
oh
like because
God.
They would come on after the top 20 video countdown,
yeah, totally,
where I would
totally.
Like watch and get mad that my favorite artists weren't as high as I wanted them to be.
Yes, yes.
Which is probably
oh God,
where the hatred of pop music was planted because yes. I was like, "Durr.
Fuck you, Katy Perry.
Damn
you don't
it.
Deserve that spot."
So, you know,
oh my
angst.
God.
But,
yeah.
you know, but if I were going to write a story, I'm actually also like a huge comic book nerd. And I've always
cool.
like thought about like developing my own sort of like sci-fi, like a fantasy universe and those kind, like along like a Marvel or DC kind
yes.
of line, but like doing it in like a short story format instead of like comic books, because I can't draw. I'm not a visual arts person. I've always been a writer more.
Yeah, like, me neither. And I'm like, I can copy anything. Like if you put a thing in front of me, I can copy it, but
yeah.
I can't like come up with like a drawing out of my brain. Like that shit blows my mind. Like I'm like, I made my brother a Pickle Rick mug for Christmas one
nice.
Year. Like I'm like, I can look at anything and be like, yeah, I can paint that. I can see how that can be put together. But
yeah.
people who just like pull it out of their brains, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I think that it's so, that is like the most amazing
so cool.
thing to me.
So
dance
cool.
and like art, I think are so fucking cool because
so
I
cool.
cannot do either well.
And I love how much like visual art there is like around the Capital Region and the greater 518.
Honestly,
like I mean,
yeah.
like all, like there's so much great public art popping up and like
it's
everywhere,
true.
Like really like all over, like I love like every locale, like in like in the 518 region, like, because you know, like I said, I'm from downstate originally, and it's just such a massive place that like I came up here, and that's kind of one of my perspectives from like doing like music the way I've done it, is like I've always kind of considered it as like both a bunch of different places and all the same place. Like they're
yes.
more like they're like different, like they're like the boroughs, they're neighborhoods. Like I like one's 45 minutes from the other, but sometimes
yeah.
it just takes a while to get somewhere. It's not
yeah,
a big deal,
right?
Like,
but it is funny though. Anybody who's in their little spot doesn't want to travel to a show,
especially fan wise. Yeah, it's so it feels like we have to have like separate like groups of people in 100%. Like every place for sure.
Like I can sell out Cafe Lena, and then I go and I play the Park Theater, and 30 people show up, and I'm like, this is 20 minutes away from all of you.
Mm-hmm. It's very
what's going on.
It's so hard, like because we like when I started playing with Seas Atlantis, and like we're from up in Glens Falls, and we like started playing shows down in Albany. And we, like, we have friends who come to our Albany shows who are from the Capital Region, and our Glens Falls friends rarely make the trip down the North Way, and like vice versa. It's very like occasionally they will, and it's always awesome. Mm-hmm. And like I've kind of like been trying to help like bring more people from down that way up to our neck of the woods up there, like, because I'd love to see more original music getting like spotlighted up there and like
in Glens Falls.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing against like, I mean, I play lots of like cover sets, and that's totally valid. And like, I'll continue to do so because it's like, I have fun with it sometimes. Like
sometimes sometimes,
but there's, you know, there's plenty of opportunity to play like 3 or 4 hour cover gigs. And like, we need more places who are going to take a chance on like 3 or 4 bands for, just doing original music.
Totally.
You know, I would love to see more of that up there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like when I was first coming up, that's like, this is like 2017, 2018. That's like where original music was for all of us. Like, it was like Googs.
Yeah.
It was like, Googs and Rock Hill. R.I.P. Rock Hill's
still going.
R.I.P. What was the shop?
Different spot now. But
Yeah. No, totally.
But the Shirt Factory is awesome.
Yes, so. The Shirt Factory is amazing. What? What was the shot at Googs?
The Sweaty Goog.
The Sweaty Goog. Oh my God. Was,
So we actually played like some of our very early shows at Googs.
Totally.
And they were so supportive of original music.
Totally.
Like, we only had like 5 original songs at the time, and he was like, keep working on those.
Yeah.
Like, and it, like, I was like, I remember being blown away because so many bars are like, not like discouraging outright of original music, but like, there, I'm sure there are like places where we play where if like we do like a 60-40, 70-30 covers original split,
sure,
we do long shows.
Yeah.
And like, if we were to revert that, I'm sure people might be like, oh, that's interesting. Like, like, about, I don't know,
so
like how I don't know how that would go over necessarily. I mean, I've never tried it.
Yeah, right. Also true.
So,
right?
I mean, I assume a lot of a lot of things. Like, I always like assume like people are going to be small minded about like,
me too,
about like local music for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, if they're not initiated.
Yep. But like, also, like, if you, I mean, you guys have a draw up there. Like, if you drew people and you were like, we're doing Seas Atlantis and we're going to do an original show.
Yeah.
And like, if you had people there, then it's like, then bars are like, fine. They're just looking for bodies.
It's true.
You know?
And like, a lot of the time you just got to ask, right?
Also
like,
that.
That's another like really important lesson that I learned like when I was just like cutting teeth, when I was like doing the Syracuse open mic thing, is just like, that was cool. Like, being in like a new place and like being a musician, like I never really had done the solo thing before, but I realized like nobody knew who I was, and they were just gonna like take me as seriously as I took myself. Like, so I just kind of like, I had my songs that I wrote, and like I just started going to open mics and like acting like I'd been there before and like trying really hard to seem like professional.
You knew
and then,
what the
like,
fuck you were doing.
Luckily, like people who'd been doing it, like who were hosting the open mics, like kind of took me under their wing and gave me advice and told me to buy a Taylor or a Martin, so I bought a Martin.
This is like literally everybody's story. Everybody has those like people who like when you were first coming up who like helped you through the thing.
Absolutely.
For me, that was like Rick Bolton and Rick Sleeper at the Cock and Bull too, is like, and like I remember Rick Bolton like at an open mic coming up to me being like, oh, this was when Gaffney's was like still doing a lot of like live music, and they had singer songwriters for their like for their like happy hours and stuff from like 5 to 8 or whatever. Like, they were doing that in the garden in the summers, which is crazy because now they only have like DJs, and now I don't even think they're open anymore.
Right.
So I'm like, it's so wild. All these places that I played when I was coming up just like don't exist anymore.
So many bars are doing DJs now.
Oh my
and
God.
I love DJs. No,
yeah,
like that's totally like no hate to all you DJs out
no.
there. I got some really good friends who are DJs and they're great. They do great work, but it's like, damn.
But no, but it is.
I want to see some bands getting hired for happy hour again.
Yeah,
like, that would be nice.
This was just like a crazy thing because it was like the middle of track season, like me solo piano player.
Right.
On like a Friday night. So like everybody's getting out of the track and coming here just fucking wasted. And I'm just like singing pretty songs on the piano. I'm like, I look back and I'm like, how did I get that fucking job? But Rick was like, I remember him coming up to me at an open mic and being like, so like, you know, I'd love to book you. Like, do you have 3 hours of original music, or do you have 3 hours of music to like play at a gig? And I was like, yeah, totally. Like literally turned around and was like, gotta learn 3 hours of music.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck no, I don't know 3 hours of music. Mm-hmm. Hell no.
Yeah.
So it's like me, like it was check me like the night before the gig, like okay, like if I play this one and then, okay, if I take a drink of water here, then that buys me like a minute. And yeah. then it's like doing that. Yep. Like at the beginning, I'm like, oh my God, it's crazy. Now like we roll up to gigs with no plan.
Right. Yep. It's so funny. Like, especially when I'm doing solo, sometimes I don't even make a set list, or I'll like make a set list that's actually a checklist and I don't really put it in any order. And I just kind of check them off based on like how I feel. And,
yeah.
But like I got some, like when I was doing that out there, I had been in a rock band in high school. We called ourselves Last Minute.
That's a cool name.
We formed for a talent show because like me and my friend Luke, who's actually the guitarist in Seas Atlantis, or the guitar player and the drummer for Seas Atlantis, were in this band as well.
No way.
But like it's not the same band. We didn't play together for like 10 years and then we kind of got back together. It's like a whole, it was a long, like,
the Lord.
We didn't really lose like touch, but like we went away to school and did different things,
right,
and
just,
like everybody
have
kind of had time again, and we started jamming with, like,
it's amazing that you all came back together.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's funny how that works, right?
Yeah.
But at the time, so the first person to actually book me to play like a real show was actually Matteo Vasganian, who was running a thing called Empire Activities at the time with his dad Chuck.
Okay.
And they were booking shows at Adventure Racing in Queensbury in the Cave, which was also at the Unitarian Church.
Crazy.
And like it was the only place we could get shows because we were like 15 and 16 and we couldn't play, like bars wouldn't let us play because we weren't 18. Like we couldn't like play shows there.
Sure.
Except for like one time we got to play Putnam Place when it was still Putnam Den.
Wow.
And that was like one of our last shows before like high school ended and we like stopped playing together.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is wild.
So that was like the original roots was like, and so like, I really like, I always like think about, and like, I knew like when Wild Adriatic first started playing, they were like, they like headlined a show, like one of those shows, and like probably like as a test run. Like,
And
it was like such a cool experience to like be able to like see like shows that were like not in like a bar too. Like
totally.
That's such a cool thing now. And like I've done that like a little bit, like I kind of have like a fake promoter business that I like pretend to be a professional promoter for. And I've done shows in like record stores and things like that because like just like cool spots to do music, you know, who doesn't like a unique feel? That's a, like more of a curveball than just playing another bar show.
Totally. And also I will say, like, there's a guy that I know who's in a bigger band around, like a big band around here, and his email is a fake promoter because he like pretend, because he's like it makes it like eliminates me from the thing, and then I'm just like pretending to be this woman who like is our booker.
Totally.
And then he's like, I can't tell you how much more money I've been able to get and like how much more seriously people take me, and he's like, the conversations are, and then I just roll up and I'm like, oh hey, here I am to do the music, like,
absolutely.
And then he's like,
that's,
it eliminates
great,
you from like having to be like the in-between person. I'm like, fuck, that's
it, like
brilliant.
It feels really professional, like, you know, like that's a whole part of it's a whole part of the thing. And like, and then like, I forgot what I was gonna say.
Oh, sorry.
No. It was it's on me because I thought of something else. I was like, but like the next person who kind of took me under my wing when I was doing solo stuff for the first time, like when I was out in Syracuse, his name was, he's actually still an active like solo artist out there and in a band called The Ripcords. His name is Irv Lyons Jr. And he's like a blues R&B kind of like guy.
Oh.
He gave me like my first like solo like gigs opening for him out there.
Awesome.
Like when he was doing like 3 hour sets and like didn't want to be doing 3 hour
cover
sets, and
just
he was like, why don't you play like acoustic for 45 minutes and then we'll do like a set.
Isn't that
it was
so
like,
funny?
Yeah. So
yeah.
I like,
it's so funny to think about that stuff, and it's like, yeah, you just want to pop up and like do some stuff, and then it's like, wait a minute, you got paid for that and I fucking didn't.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff cracks me up.
I did
like,
get a little cut.
Shit.
I did get a little cut.
Oh, that's good. That's
so
good. That's nice.
You know, that's where, you know, part of the ethics were coming through too. So, you know, you pick up some things.
That's so funny.
That was funny because we had just started getting back together to do the Seas Atlantis stuff, and it was like originally a totally different like project, but we were like practicing, and so I was actually coming like back to Queensbury on the weekends to like visit family and like have band practice, and then I was like going back out for like a Monday night event where I would like play music and then like go back to my apartment. I lived like near the fairgrounds in Syracuse, like like over the bridge there, like kind of near where the amphitheater is. I used to like walk to concerts all the time.
Oh,
like,
fun.
Yeah.
Where were you going to school out there?
I was at SU.
Oh, really?
I was studying school counseling at Syracuse. And
that's crazy.
Just, yeah, I was there originally on like scholarship money, and I adjusted poorly at first to like being like in a new place where like I didn't have a lot of support systems.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
college
stressful,
is,
you know,
crazy.
Grad school,
it's
anybody,
so stressful.
Like, it's so like, and that level, like the master's level of education is
right.
So like, they're trying to weed out people who aren't professional quote unquote, you know, and like, you know, I'm admittedly an unorthodox person, like in terms of like how I go about business and things, like, yeah, and organizing myself. And like,
yeah,
it was an adjustment period. And like, I ended up being okay, but I ran out of like time on my scholarship and just kind of had to leave the program before finishing.
Yeah.
So I ended up, leaving for a while, stuck around for a little bit. My girlfriend and I were living, in Solvay at the New York, in like an attic apartment at the time, like a third floor apartment. And we ended up moving back to the area like literally right before COVID hit.
Wow.
Like I started the job, my last job that I worked at until this September. Like, I started in the office in like January 2020 and was like in the office for 2 months and got sent home.
Wow.
Like, to work from home for like the entire pandemic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And so wait, so you were working that job until September of this year?
Yeah.
Did you just leave?
Yep.
Oh my God. Yep. Congrats.
Thank you. Thank
you. Oh my God.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm doing, I'm trying to do like the performing and like freelance writing for like Metroland and stuff full time. Yeah. Like combining those things to try to do like a full time gig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
So it's all pretty new to me still. It's only like the second or third month. But
yeah. Holy shit. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. Like, yeah. I'm super fulfilled.
And oh,
like
good.
More creative than I have in a while. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Like, I'm mm-hmm. definitely working on new solo stuff for the first time, like, since Seas Atlantis has been a thing, really. Wow. Like, I've dabbled and played a couple of shows. Actually, JP played keys for me one
time. Right, yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm, like, it's funny, like, you write songs, like, the last time I wrote solo music was, like, prior to 2015, 2016, and
wow.
I'm, like, it's, like, they don't really, it's not that they're not good, but they just don't always feel like me anymore. In a way.
Uh-huh.
So it's like now I'm like, sometimes I just don't like really feel like playing them. And now I'm coming up with new songs that are like for the first time in a while that I'm like, kind of feel like I'm on a roll again. Like it's not, it's like, I feel like I'm back, like getting back, like repairing my relationship with like writing songs on my own. Cause it's different than writing like in a band where everything's fully collaborative.
Yeah.
Right.
So your band is collaborative?
Yeah. We're pretty much creatively, we're equal partners, I would say. Like we like definitely like whoever comes up with the initial idea might be like controlling like things for that song and being a creative force, but like,
yeah,
it's very like egalitarian, and like nobody's really, if there's really ever anything that any one of us is like vehemently against doing, we don't do it.
Yeah,
like is kind of like everyone's got veto power.
Cool.
Like, and a lot of the time, like when I'm writing songs for Seas Atlantis, it's like the music comes first and really informs what I feel like the song is about. Mm. Like I feel like music has a mood. Like, and the mood is like, it like, and that kind of organically, like, I kind of will like hear something in there.
Yeah.
Like, and then like, based on that, then the lyrics will come.
Ah.
Where like writing on my own, obviously like I didn't always play guitar. So when I was a standalone vocalist, I used to just write lyrics all the time. Now I like rarely will just write lyrics without music.
Yeah.
Like it's much more of like a hand in hand process for me now.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So it's interesting how things like change over time.
Totally. Like, 100%. Oh my God, that's wild. Cause I feel like I actually do write a decent amount of just like I have so many like things that are just like, I just call them like brain dumps, but it's like this brain dump then like turns into like this like poem thing that I'm like, do I need to like also release a book of my poetry? Cause I'm like, some of this stuff is like, I don't think that this will ever be a song. Like, I don't think it wants to be. Like, I can feel that it doesn't want to be, but every now
do
and again,
all the things
I know, but that's the other thing too, is that I'm just like, and I've been thinking about this a lot, just like, how many things I want to do in my lifetime. And I've just gotten really back into reading within like the last like 3 years probably. And I'm like, oh, now I want to write a fantasy novel.
Yep. It's.
And I'm like, no,
there's
like
just, there's
the last thing
I
need is another
do.
Thing. Yeah. Yes. What's a thing that you want to do that you haven't done yet besides the book or the comic? Would you write it as a comic or would you write it as.
I'd probably write it as a short story. I used to write, like when I was doing creative writing and like as an elective in college, I did a lot of short story stuff.
Oh,
I actually
cool.
like, I would love to write a movie. Like,
really?
And do, like, yeah. And like, and try to make an independent, like low budget crap movie.
Fun.
Like, yeah, just do fun
so
stuff.
Fun.
I just want to get it. Like, I want to get stuff out there. Like, it was kind of like, I'm like getting to a point like in my life where a lot of it is changing. Like relatives are getting older and like things like that. And like,
can I ask how old you are?
I am turning 32.
Okay.
The week of Christmas.
My
birthday
God.
Is in between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh
like
my
right
God,
in the middle.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
So I'm basically a 94 baby, but I was born tail end of 93.
That's so funny. So. Yeah, because I just turned 32 this year also.
Yeah.
And I feel like like, even I feel the difference. Like, I turned 30 and I was like, I'm 30, but it's like 31 feels different from 30. Like, it's like, I feel like that's when you, like, these changes, like, really start to, like, become apparent, and really started to become apparent in my mind was, like, within this last year that I was like, oh shit, like, yeah, life is not what life has always been and will not be that way.
And it's like, just going through some things, like, my mom has had some, like, health stuff recently. And,
oh,
like,
so sorry.
It's fine. Thank you.
She's okay.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar with that. So if you ever need to talk to anyone about it, like,
totally. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yep. I appreciate it.
Yep.
And, like, my uncle had passed during COVID and, like, just, like, getting those things, like, they were both, like, in their early 60s. So, like, I was thinking, like, just, like, between, like, and, like, that was obviously a super stressful experience and, like, having to, like, deal with work through it all. And they were super accommodating, but it was just, like, I've gotten sick of, like, having to, like, live my life on the terms of, like, whatever, like, anybody
else,
basically. Like, yeah. And I was just like, if there's any way for me to do what I want to do and make a living out of it, like,
yeah,
I feel like it's got to be now. It's now or never. Like, I'm in a place with my support system where, like, I can afford to fail. I did, then I'm sure there'll be other jobs I'm qualified for.
And that's,
you know, we'll figure that out when the time comes.
I think, like, that's the other thing too. It's just taking the leap is the hardest part. But I think, like, if you
Bad at starting, like, really.
I'm bad at letting go.
Mm.
I'm good at starting. I'm bad. Oof, that's a tough thing for me. Like, if I'm in a comfy spot, like, my therapist said to me one time, she was like, Angelina, like, you are in the river and the river is rushing. You are in it. You're sitting in it and you are holding on for dear life by the branch above your head. And she was like, just let go.
Yeah. I really relate to that, because I was kind of like, I kind of went through that when I was, like, considering leaving grad school. Like, I was really like, I've always, you know, I grew up an athlete and, like, and, like, my parents always, like, really were, like, instilled the value of, like, not quitting. Like, don't give up. Stay with it.
And like, honestly, same.
But
in terms of, like...
And that served me well, mostly. Yep. Right? Like, but this one, I had this, like, epiphany where I was, like, maybe, like, you're doing your best and you're having success, but it's just not happening. Maybe it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
there
maybe
it is.
You're supposed to go the other way.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, if you're doing everything you can and it's not, you're just not breaking through, maybe you just got to try something else.
Yep. And that's,
it's like,
that's,
it's not so much don't quit, it's like know when to quit.
Yeah, yes. Right? And, like, it's also like just know, like, knowing and feeling when it's just like, and it's also that thing of like, and do I even want this though?
Yeah.
Like, it's like you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing and you're pushing. You don't even have time to think, like, is this what I want? And then it's like, oh, actually, you know what? I don't want this and I don't want to keep doing this and I'm ready to stop and do something else.
Right.
Like,
and that was part of it
next?
Too. Cause, like, I was super passionate about, like, psychology. I really loved learning about it.
Yeah,
and,
it's
like,
so cool.
And, like, counseling was really an awesome thing to study, but, like, it was always, like, a pragmatic thing where it was like, I didn't have, like, a music education background where I didn't do orchestra. I didn't do chorus. Like, I'm pretty much self-taught all the way. So, like, I didn't go to college with, like, an idea of getting a degree in that. And I was like, well, if I, like, you don't necessarily need to get a degree in music to do music for a living. So I was like, let me study something that I could potentially, like, that, like, I'm still super passionate about, but I could maybe get a job that pays well in, like, as, like, a safety if my music career never takes off. Like,
And then isn't that so funny? You spent all that time doing that just to leave it.
Right. Exactly. And, like,
it's,
you know,
so funny how that happens. Life
it's hilarious.
So
it's, yeah, it's, but then it's like, well, I had to go through that. Like, right. Yep. Or, like, I wouldn't be who I am.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, literally down to the fucking, like, wire. Like, that's what it is. And then JP and I do talk about this all the time with, like, the freelance work, because both of us are at this point where everything we're doing is, like, neither of us have a full-time job. We have a few part-time
that's
a handful of part-time
exactly things. What I'm trying to do.
And I will say, it took, like, I left my last full-time job 2 years ago, and I left and I took, like, I had enough savings that I was like, I just need to, like, I need time. Like, I feel like, what the fuck just happened? And that was after COVID and everything. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And we moved into this space and I was just, like, reading a lot and chilling out. And I just was like, I just got to make enough money to pay my loans and my rent. And I was like, and I'll figure out the rest. And then it was kind of like, maybe I'm going to start teaching. And then, okay. Like, oh, and now I'm, like, teaching. And now,
you know,
I'm like, I have all these students. And it's like, maybe I'm going to start doing this. And oh, okay. Well, like, that has kind of taken off. Oh, and maybe I'll start doing this. Oh, that's kind of taken off. Like, all of these little things, it takes a while to build it.
Yeah.
But, like, once you have it, it does feel very fulfilling. And then it is very flexible, which is great. The only thing that does suck. And JP and I literally talk about this all the time, where it's like, if you have a full-time job, pay time off.
Yeah.
Like paid time off is.
And that was the one really good thing about my last job was that the PTO policy was actually really generous.
Yeah.
Like, so that was really good. But
it's hard to leave.
It's super hard to leave, but it's also like, it was just like, it got to a point where mentally I was feeling like my job was an obstacle.
Yep.
And I was not going like, to like, I was like as good as it was in my way.
Yep.
And like, I was like, I don't want to go through that for another 30 years and be sitting there and be like, why did I never try to do what I wanted to do?
Dude, like, I remember my cousin, when she was getting, she graduated a couple of years ago, got her master's in social work, mm-hmm. and then got out and then was like, oh, I got this job. And she's like, and then if I have this job and then I can, when I leave, like, and this is the pension that I'll have and this is the retirement I'll have and this whatever. And I was like, okay. Pause for like a second. Let's see if you even like the job, you know, right, like, let's see if you like it and then go from there. And like, it's like all of these little things. It's like thinking a million steps ahead. And then it's like, you forget that actually like there is a whole 30 year span that you also need to like live through. There's a year span that you need to live through. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you got to take it. Like, can you do it every day?
Yeah.
Like, I remember like the one job I was working at, we were all like at lunch one day. And this was when I had been thinking about, I was already ready to like leave that job. And this one woman was like, I just don't understand the youth of today. And like everyone like is just leaving. There's no, like no one has any like job, like no one has any, like any worth or like anything for their job and for their company or whatever. And she's like, everyone's just leaving willy nilly. And everyone at that job, I was the youngest person at that job. Everyone was like 50s and up. And I was sitting at that table as the only young person in the room who was gonna leave that job. And like, I was like ready to put my 2 weeks in, like in a week. I was like, I'm planning this whole thing out in my brain. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh fuck. And I was like, well, I was like, you know, just to kind of play devil's advocate here, like I can open up my phone and look at a job that's gonna pay me more and has better benefits. So why would I not apply for that job and leave? Like I don't have any loyalty to you if you're not gonna give me anything.
Look,
well, what the fuck?
Listen. Everybody should know their value,
right?
Like everybody should know their value. And like, I advocate, even like I liked my last job, but I would always advocate for myself and be like, well, this is what I need. And like, I had good bosses. So that was really good too.
Great.
Like my actual like direct bosses would often like take my back when I like would like fight back against something. Like if I would be like, this is BS. A lot of the time they would like, if I like laid out my case well enough, they would be like, you know what? You're right. Like, so that was always a leg up that I feel like, you know, you can't take for granted because that almost never happens in corporate spaces.
Dude, for
like,
real. Yeah.
So not, I mean, you know what? Yeah. To throw shade. I was going to say not to throw shade.
No.
But to throw
shade. You can throw shade at that. I think that no one will disagree with you on that.
I've worked a lot of corporate jobs. I worked for Six Flags before I worked for McDonald's too.
Fuck.
I was a lifeguard at Six Flags.
Whoa. Yeah, God.
That's also a job that I did with Luke and Cody, our drummer.
We
were all lifeguards at Great Escape.
You probably had the best time though. Like as like children,
you know, we made $9 an hour, which at the time was $2 more than minimum wage.
So you're like,
so we were like, we're wealthy.
You're fucking
like, we
crushing.
Were like 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
We're wealthy.
We have good money. We make good money. It was like $9 an hour. It was crazy.
That's crazy. That was like Wild. 10 years ago.
And it wasn't good money. It wasn't good money. We just felt like it was the first, like,
no, but it's like, you don't have any bills to pay. That's great money when you're a child.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All you're buying is like McDonald's.
I bought myself
and like an Arizona iced tea. That's wild. What did you buy?
What did I buy? I used to buy lots of snapback hats, probably. Like,
sure.
I actually have a whole, so like I used to have like, I had my hair long for a little while. I don't like to wear hats with like long hair. It's like a whole, like, I don't know, it's a sensory thing. It just like bothers me. Like, it's too much hair to be under a hat. It's uncomfortable.
Yep.
But like, whenever I wear my hair shorter, I wear a lot more hats, and I have like a super, like, I have kind of like a hat collection that I like to cycle through.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I have like a pink Superman snapback hat with a lime green brim. That's like,
oh,
a
my
nice
God.
Yeah, like all kinds of like funny
that's
hats.
That's your
like
queens
that.
Coming out.
Yeah, you know, it probably is. Yeah. And my like, my
I
mom always
that.
Like, my mom was very like super stylish and was like always like, like, so she like was always like making sure like my brothers and I like dressed with like some flash.
Yes.
So something I try to keep with me with like style, not like, not
I
all the time.
That.
I feel like I have like two looks, and it's like black and grayscale or like super loud button up shirts. Like,
okay.
Those are, there's no in between.
That is you, like, actually. Cause I feel like I've only ever seen you in like this getup is less familiar to me than the super loud button up.
This is, the super loud button ups are like, I don't know. They started off like, I had one that I got from, I think it was Target back in the day.
Sure.
And like, it was just like when I was still drinking, I called it my ugly day drinking shirt. and I would wear it to like parties and like just like it was just like a gag. And then like I don't know, I just like I liked designs on shirts.
Yeah,
why not? Like,
oh my god,
why not? It's some,
and I feel like there aren't many ways that like JP and I talk about this a lot too, where like men's fashion, women's fashion, there aren't many, very many ways for like men to express themselves through fashion. So like the bold shirt is a move.
Maybe like socks. It's also like the front man thing too. Like that I'm like a singer vocalist. So it's like, I'm used to like trying to draw attention to myself in like a rock band setting.
Totally.
It's like,
that's a way to do it.
For sure.
You're sober?
Yeah. Well, I'm California sober. I'll be honest.
But what does that mean? Oh, so weed.
Yeah.
Okay. But you're alcohol sober.
Yeah. I've been alcohol free for, I think it was three years as of October.
No way. Congratulations.
And I was, yeah, thank you very much. I did it once before for a couple of years and kind of like went back to drinking. Not like in any dramatic story or anything. It just I never really thought of it as quitting the first time. I don't think. Like, I just kind of stopped. And then, like, I was, like, I had a close friend who was getting married and, like, you know, celebratorily started drinking again. And then just kind of, like, became something I did again. And then, yeah, 3 years ago, I quit.
Nice. Was there anything that was, like, the driving factor?
Sure. It just really didn't serve me anymore. Yeah. You know, I was, like, I started getting, like, I mean, my dad's a recovered alcoholic.
So many of us that don't drink have at least one alcoholic parent.
I mean, it's very common. Yep. It's like, it's certainly nothing to be ashamed of. Like,
oh my God, no. Like, and there are also so many. It's wild.
There's a whole part of the culture that's so... I don't want to like throw any shade at people who drink, because it's totally fine to drink if you drink responsibly and you're like a responsible adult.
And responsible and you have a healthy
Not everybody
relationship
has a problem. It's totally fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
but,
right.
But I do like, it does like, as a non-drinker, you start to notice a lot of like how present alcohol is around every activity that's like recreational. Like
100%.
I'm a big sports fan. Like you can't like watch, you can't watch sports without alcohol being involved. Like most shows are in bars. Like,
right.
It's like, I have a great time at bars, but I don't drink anymore. But like, it's always interesting when a place will like try to give you free drinks and like,
dude, that's a thing. Like when we book a spot and then they're like, well, food and drinks. And I'm like, well, we don't drink, so give me an extra $50.
There you
like,
go.
Like neither of us will drink, so give me more money. Like I don't want it. I honestly probably don't even want your food, so just give me an extra $100 because I won't eat or drink. Like that is a very funny thing. I think about that. I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Yeah, I remember it's just like, it's sometimes it's like it's a thing where people will be like very like not like pushy about it in a bad way, but they think you're like being like professional and turning it down, and they're like, just take one. And it's like, no, I don't. And then they're like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
and then it's like, oh, and that, then it's like, now you're making it. It's not that weird. It's not a big deal. It's fine. It's like, I'm not mad.
Now you're making it weird.
I'll just have a water.
Yeah, so correct. Okay. Yeah. Like, which is better for my voice anyway. The last thing any of us need is alcohol when we're singing. This is a PSA. I am going to say that to anyone who's listening to this podcast. All it does is cause inflammation and destroys your vocal cords.
Yeah.
So for no other reason.
My voice has definitely gotten better since I quit drinking, for sure.
Yeah.
And like, I drink more tea now too.
Oh, that's like, great.
I cut my caffeine down to like 2 cups of coffee in the morning. Cause I drink Death Wish coffee too. So it's
my God. So 1 = 2 already.
Yeah, exactly. So I drank so much coffee when I was like opening at McDonald's. Like I used to go into work at like 4:30 a.m. I would they used to like tease me cause I used to use like a small cup and like fill it up throughout the day. They were like, just take a large, man.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but you want it hot.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. I just like filling it up all the time. Yeah. I guess. Like,
it's just my thing, bro. Let me live my life.
I was a big, I drink black coffee too. So I'm like that guy just drinking straight from like the pot of coffee.
Yes.
Like, just, I love it.
Yeah. Just chugging.
I'm a big coffee person. But
yeah.
I try to be good about it now. Not drink too much caffeine because I get like the sweaty palm anxiety.
It just gives me anxiety now. Like I stopped drinking. Now I know because of the inflammation, like with all like this chronic illness stuff I have going on, it's like, oh, of course I would feel like shit after I would drink because it's just inflammation. My body's already inflamed. I'm drinking. It's like extra inflamed. It's actually so funny because I really only drink tea. I drink a little bit of coffee. And if I do drink coffee, it's decaf and it's like once a week. Mm-hmm. And then I also don't drink alcohol and I don't smoke. Like I don't do. So like when I go to the doctor and like have all this stuff going on and they're like, okay, well you can cut out alcohol. I'm like, I don't drink alcohol.
No, I can't actually.
And they're like, well, do you smoke? No. Do you drink caffeine? No. So it's like all these things that I'm like, I think that that's part of the reason why my like autoimmune stuff waited so long to come out was because I was like, I already had these healthy habits in place that I was like, I had nothing that was like a trigger because I wasn't doing any of these like terrible things except stress.
Right.
Stress. And then it's
stress
just like,
is,
yeah.
Stress is really crazy. Like, it, like it'll...
Stress will kill ya. Like,
it,
literally.
It manifests in such wild ways.
Yeah.
Like, it can really manifest, like, almost out, like, any way.
Any way.
Like, and yeah. that's, like, another, like... The brain is so crazy, like so wild. I don't want to say crazy. Crazy is like not the right word.
Yeah. But, no, but it is a wild place.
Yeah. I mean,
from
I definitely...
From your psychology perspective too, it's probably really interesting.
I had a really, like, I was like getting to the point, like when I was like, when I was in grad school, they talk about like, what's your theoretical orientation? And it's like, what are you, how are you going to practice? And like, how do you perceive like the psyche and things like that? And like, I always like there was I forget the name of the psychologist. I always try to look it up and I can never remember who it is, but it was like I think like a lot of it was like the way we frame mental health like as mental illness is often like not really true because like the mind is reacting rationally often to what it believes it's perceiving. So it's not really malfunctioning.
Whoa.
Like
oh, that is like blowing my mind.
Right. Like so it's not and it's like there's a lot of like so yeah,
wow,
it's very like
it's very interesting.
It's like if you're like obviously like you can have an anxiety disorder and like a runaway anxiety like some people might call it and like but it's like but if you believe you have a reason to be nervous, is it really like a disorder? Because if you were like if you take like an evolutionary perspective, if we were like
we're running from lions
in nature, like
right.
you might need to be anxious to like escape
survive.
Predators or something, like,
right?
Which like evolutionary psychology is so cool.
No, I think that it's
like,
amazing.
It's a really like it really that really reframed like my perception of like behavior because like it like applies like evolution to behavior.
Yeah.
And it's like depression exists because it was selected for in evolution. Like it
really?
Serves some kind of purpose. Like
what, do you
is
know
like
what purpose it was psychologically?
So, like in nature, I think like evolutionary theorists would hold that like it like if like without having it become like a disorder that you can't like where you can't get out of the cycle,
yeah.
it's supposed to like signal that like you'll live to fight another day. Like you're like surrendering in whatever the current struggle is to like go and recover.
Oh,
yeah.
You need
and
to
so
like
and what happens like a lot of wow. what happens in depression, at least, and this is like I went to college. I was like I graduated in 2015. So this could all
yep.
like some of this could be outdated.
Totally
you're supposed
new
to like
now.
Go for like it's a very young science and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not an expert really anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the time it was like what I learned was like what happens is like in like when you get into like a depressive episode is like you don't stack enough wins to get out of that defeat strategy. So it's like you kind of get stuck in the feedback loop of like, oh, I'm going to keep losing. Like I'm just going to keep losing. So I'm like, I'm just going to surrender before I even try to compete. Like, and so like, that's why like a lot of like non, like obviously you have medication, but a lot of like therapy, like treatment for depression is like short-term goals because it's like,
What can you do to get out of
it? Right. Like you got to learn how to win again.
Yeah.
You know, like in every win, like stacks and like momentum, momentum is a real thing.
Cry.
Like
yeah.
momentum is a real thing.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
And like, I just like my whole thing would have been like, as a counselor, like I really wanted to focus on like empowering people because like, I think like people are really powerful when like, I don't know, like not to get too wishy-washy about
no,
it, but like
no.
to get back to like the evolutionary perspective. And like, I've told people like friends of mine this when they're like talking to me about stuff is like, you know, it's like nerdy this like sounding, but like all of us who are like here are like the result of like successful evolution.
Dude, yeah, I
so
think
like,
about that all the time.
You can do it. You can do
yeah.
it. Your ancestors did it and so
yep.
can you.
Like, yep. Your ancestors were the strongest
yeah.
of the pack, which is why yep. you've made it this far. You've mm-hmm. survived all
yeah.
of the COVIDs before this one.
And I try to remember that when I send out tons of emails and get no responses.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Just keep throwing darts,
just keep
kid.
Doing it.
Just keep shooting. Shoot
you know,
or shoot.
Right. Do you know who John Craigie is?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
He's a songwriter. He has a song called Dissect the Bird. And the lyrics are like, so much had to happen just exactly right. Your parents had to meet, and as random as that was, hang out long enough at least to make a little love and make a baby and give it your name, and all your ancestors had to do the same. Exponentially backwards through the process of life, something had to happen just exactly right. And then it's like the universe is not against
yeah.
you. Like the
right.
universe is here for you. Like all of these things happened
yeah.
for you to be here right now.
Against unfathomable odds.
Like literally.
For this exact scenario to have taken place is like, it's wild to think about stuff like that. I love it.
Yeah, me too. Oh like, my God. No, it's like my favorite. It's my favorite fucking line of mm-hmm. thinking. And I think also like, probably as humans, because we just attach so much to the negative that we like forget to like give ourselves 5 extra seconds to like really attach to the positive
yeah.
and like really think about how amazing it is
I'm
that
really
we're
big.
Here.
I'm really big on celebrating wins. Like, yeah, I'm really big on that.
I'm trying to get better about it.
And actually, not so much in like a gloating way, but it's like, it's totally fine to like be happy about something you did.
Right. You know? And I think also like for me, that the biggest piece of that even is like celebrating wins and like fucking gratitude. Mm-hmm. Like that's a thing that has, I think, like changed my brain, where it's like, even like, sometimes like when I can't sleep, I'm just like, I lay there and I'm just like thinking about like right before I go to bed, I'm like closing my eyes and I lay there and I'm like, okay, like give me three grateful things. Like tell me three grateful things for today. Sometimes JP and I'll be like lying in bed and we'll be like, okay, give me three grateful things. And we'll just like talk about like what happened. And then it's like, all of a sudden you start with one, you start with two, you start with three. And then it's like, ding, 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 ding. And then it's like, oh my God, today was a great day, wasn't it? And then you're like, what the fuck? Like, and your whole, everything changes.
Absolutely.
Cause it's like, you stop thinking about what you don't have and you start thinking about what you do have. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to curate that though, because it's not the first thing that our minds are going to jump to. The first thing your mind is going to jump to is everything you don't have and everything you want and everything that feels like the universe is against you.
Yeah.
When it's like, actually it's supporting you in all of these beautiful ways. You just have to look like a little harder to find them.
And like, not to be too like toxically positive, but it's like, everything, I know, also that, there's always like, there's always an opportunity, right? Like I've always thought about like, either I'm going to get what I want or I'm going to learn something.
Yeah, that's true too.
Or I'm going to learn that something's not working, even if I don't learn anything else.
Right. And the other thing too is also sometimes I've learned, especially through going through all this stuff with like my body being unable to do anything that I wanted to do, is also just like, sometimes I'm like, I just get to be mad today.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And like, sometimes it's also like letting those feelings happen and exist and like being mad and being angry and being like a little, sometimes I'm like, I'll look at JP and I'm like, I'm just being like a little bitch today. Like that's what's happening. Like, I'm just mad about this lot in life. And I'm mad that I can't do anything but lay down to be comfortable. And I'm mad that I can't do my laundry and I'm mad that I can't clean my house and I'm mad about it. And I'm just going to be fucking mad about it. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, I just needed to feel that feeling. Like that feeling just needed to be felt. Yeah. So it's also like, we're just humans that also need to feel all the feelings. And like, that's also okay.
I get really bad, like that task anxiety of like, where like the dishes, there's so many dishes. I can't do the dishes. Now there's more dishes. I can't do them.
And then they just keep, I have to do them.
And I can't. I'm like,
yes.
But because it's going to take too much time now. And it's like, it doesn't take any time. All I have to do is put them in the dishwasher. But like in my brain, it's such a complex task. Cause then I'm like going to get there and they're not all going to fit the right way. And it's like, it's a whole like, God, I have this. To like,
yes,
it's like in like old cartoons where they would like smack the person in the face and be like, just relax, get a grip,
just
like,
do it. Yeah, get a grip. It's just like, and then it's like, oh,
my mind will definitely race sometimes for sure.
Yeah. I think most of ours do, but, wow. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
This was amazing. This is a great conversation. I just had no idea. Like, I feel like I knew nothing about you. I just knew you as you are right now. So it was really cool to learn all of these things about that like made you, which is cool.
Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, thanks for hanging out. Is there anything, how can people find you? Do you have anything coming up? This will be like next January, February next year.
Sure. You can find me on basically all social media at Mullen_all_over. That's where I, on Instagram, like you'll find me posting most like kind of like it's everything from like my writing for Metroland to like my music to like some Seas Atlantis stuff. And like you can find us at Seas Atlantis on social media as well. I'm on Bandcamp. I'm on Spotify currently, but I don't know how much longer I'll be staying on Spotify. I don't really know. I want to cancel my subscription. I'm sorry. This is going to be on Spotify.
I'm coming. I know.
This is for you, Dan.
I know. I'm coming very close. I'm very close.
Get those ice ads out of here. It's weird.
What?
Yeah. I heard that. Yeah. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Daniel Ekman, what are you doing? Whoa. Pay us more money and get rid of the ice ads.
I did not hear about that. We're going to have to talk about this.
It's not good.
It's not good. Oh, I hate that. Fuck.
Everybody
me.
Does.
They give me one audiobook a month, which is like why I keep my Spotify subscription. I don't even listen to music anymore. I'm like, I don't even want your shit. Fuck me. Now I really have to cancel it. God damn it.
It's got
to
be a thing.
Yeah, it's got to be a thing. I'm
in the same boat because I've like wanted to for a while, but I just like, it's another so one of those things that I just never do. I'm like, next week.
I know. Next month. Oh, and then it goes through and then you're like, next month. Yeah. I know. It's terrible. God damn it.
But now's the time, I think.
I know.
I think it's the...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
Streaming is a whole other thing.
We could talk about that. I know, like, we literally could talk about that for another hour. Yes, exactly. For 10 fucking hours.
Everybody, like, you could just, like, go around and every guest you've had on here and every guest you will have on here, I'm sure, has just as much to say.
And it's also, it's interesting how many people who are, like, non-musicians actually have been listening to this podcast. And I'm like, oh, all of you, like, don't even know. So it is an interesting thing to talk about for, like, normal people to understand what the fuck is going on. Cause, like, they literally just don't know. They're just like, oh, I just have this app and it has my music on it. Great.
Right. And you, like, know? A lot of people too, like, one other thing, like, I have a cousin who was, like, talking to me about it, and he was like, oh, well, how much do you think you should get paid per stream, like, for individual play? And it, like, just like, and it comes down to a lot of people, like, I feel like a lot of people who don't make music don't really think about how much work it takes to record a song
and how much, like, money
right it, like, takes. And, like, it's like there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just like I write a song on my guitar and play it and now it's on distribution.
Right.
Like,
right. It's not, I have to pay to get it on distribution.
And, like,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's so many things. And also, I just think about how, like, iTunes used to be like $1 a song. So in my brain, I'm always like, I don't know, like $1 a stream would be kind of nice. That would be nice.
You can even just go back. Like, I saw a reel on Instagram about Prince talking about, like, unfair record deals back in the day. And he was like, Mariah Carey, I think it was at the time, signed the $20 million deal. And he, like, went through the finances of it because, like, Jay Leno was like, well, isn't that, so that's a lot of money. And he was like, well, if I made X amount of, like, money off of my album sales, right? Like, say we sell them at the time, I think he was like $18 for an album, like, right, whatever he said. And he was like, so if I got half of every one of that and I sold 30 million albums, like, you could see how it would be a lot more money than $20 million. Right. Like, so it's like, it's just like, you know, once you break down numbers, it's always fishy.
Yeah. Yeah. Always. And it's always once you break down numbers related to art, right? It's just everything gets a little hairy, but
we should be thankful for what we get.
We're so thankful. Thank you. Thank you. Bow down to the great big man billionaire in the sky. But anyway, but yeah, thank you for being here. We'll have to be back and we'll talk about streaming. Absolutely, and just the wonders of that.
Anytime you want.
So, oh my God. All right.
Thank you so much. Talking to normal people.